Welcome to the Nations Church podcast. We hope this message blesses you.
Well, today we have the privilege of hearing a beautiful panel, I'm going to preempt, and we've got some amazing sort of seniors as well as youth leaders and all in between. And so we have four people going to be sharing on our panel today. One of you coming out, Steve Cordell. Let's give Steve a big welcome. Cindy Gallon, Celine Teo, and Mike Smith. Grab your seats, guys. Each one of these guys have got an amazing story and legacy and, most importantly, beautiful hearts. I love each one of them and what they carry in and amongst the house. I've known Steve, I think, I first spoke to you just before your 70th birthday, wasn't it, Steve? But I love this man's heart for connecting with people. He is an integral part of Evergreens and keeping that going. But more than that, he's passionate about connecting and having generations doing connection together. And so I honour you, Steve, for what you carry. Happily retired, enjoying family life now, hey Steve? Yes. Cindy, a key part of our worship team, and her whole family serves in that area, and I love that they as a family have made a stand. I'm not going to take her speech later on, but I love and honour you, Cindy, and what you carry. How long have you guys been here now?
4 years.
4 years? But she carries such joy in everything she does. Connect leader, network leader, worship team, always willing to invest in other people as well. Celine Teo, our amazing receptionist who holds everything together at church, but also one of our incredible youth leaders. And Celine is so passionate about her young people, her girls who she looks after and pastors. And there is such a burning heart with this girl for the next generation. And I love everything that is on her and excited to see what the future holds. And Mike Smith, who happens to be my brother-in-law.
But and my cousin.
And your car, yeah.
In-law.
But I love what Mike carries. He's an investment banker and so incredibly busy and high capacity in a work sense in the corporate finance. But he's always had a heart for people. I've known him sort of at a distance before now, known him as family, and he's always had a heart to sow into and invest into people. From way back in youth days, I hear great stories, but when it comes to sponsor kids, legacy, everything, you're an incredible man of God. He serves in our kids team, big plug for our kids team as well, an amazing father and husband as well. So each one of these guys are incredible, and we're going to hear from each and every one of them as we move into some questions I have for them. But Steve, I want to start with you. What does legacy mean to you?
Well, thank you, Rick. I thought you'd never ask. Look, a man said of Christianity was, it was a bit like riding a bicycle. You're either going forward or you're falling off. And I can relate that to the church in the sense that I believe that my tithes and my offerings keep the bike in really good, tip-top operating condition. But to progress the bike to be moving forward, that's legacy. Yeah. So we sow into the future. And I think that's very important to do that.
So,
for Sue and I, all our resources, we sow into the daily running of the church, and we also sow into the future of the church.
Wow.
Now, our vision is, the lost found, disciples made, and nations reached. Is our vision, but it is really the vision of the church.
Yeah.
It's not just, it's the vision for all churches.
Yeah.
So we cannot change the vision, but we can influence it by our giving, by our legacy giving, how quickly we can progress the vision forward.
Oh, wow.
So if you take nothing out of what I've said today, just remember that your life and our church is like a bicycle. Okay.
Amen. Cindy, can you share with us what does legacy mean to you?
Well, I think legacy means a lot more than leaving your name and your mark and to be remembered by. If you really think about it, legacy is really not about you. It really is about you faithfully living the life that you have, stewarding your talents, your skills, your resources, your influence to a greater cause other than yourself for the benefit of others. And sometimes you won't even be remembered. They won't even know who you are. Sometimes you will remain insignificant. But kingdom causes is not about you. It's about leaving behind something that young people can live on. So that, to me, is legacy.
Yeah. I love that because it's so true, isn't it? We don't know the names of all the people who started this together, but they left a legacy. They built a foundation. That's beautiful. Celine, what does legacy mean to you?
Yeah, I think legacy to me means like not just financially sowing, but also spiritually and physically, like showing me how you walk with Jesus. It your walks, your actions actually speak much length to me. Just watching all of you guys and like Auntie Doris and Uncle Chin, you know, like that's legacy to me. Just watching them live their life for Jesus spiritually, that's legacy to me. So yeah.
Amen. Cool. Mike.
By the way, youth group wasn't that long ago for us, Rick, but...
Unfortunately, yeah. It was. It was longer ago than Celine's been alive, unfortunately, Mike, for both of us.
It's unfortunately. A good snapback. All right, legacy to me, let's move along. Legacy is inevitable. We are going to experience legacy and people are going to experience our legacy as well. And to me, you know, that can be a good thing or a bad thing. You know, we may have experienced legacy that is not all that good. But to bring it back to God is a God of legacy. And even if we have had that bad experience in life, you know, he can craft us in to his legacy, which is much bigger. And I think all that we need to do is not focus on, you know, creating a legacy, but focus on him and his purpose. And he will, you know, bring us into that. So, you know, I think of legacy of my family, and where I'm at today is because of the legacy of my parents. You know, what they sowed in, they're still here. So, you know, they're sowing into me. You know, they've blessed me, encouraged me, grown me, corrected me a lot of times. But they've also, you know, shown me how to live a godly life. Yeah, so good. And that's something that now I have the opportunity to do and bless my children. Yeah, and so, you know, that's legacy.
So good. Celine, I want to ask you, what does it mean to you to exist in a community of faith where there's mothers and fathers that have gone before you?
Yeah, awesome. To me, like, just I think it gives me so much hope and so much strength and faith in my own walk with Jesus, having people gone before me. So, for instance, like Auntie Cindy here, she's a good friend of my mom's, and like her, I know she's prayed for me before. I've known, you know, Auntie Doris has been praying for me. I've gone to Teresa and Craig Hunter's houses before, and they've prayed for me and they've journeyed with me, you know. Like, I think, yeah, they have, and hearing their stories, even, you know, Esther and Doug at the back, like, I love these guys. And they've only been here for a couple months now. And like, just hearing their testimonies of what God has done in their life it's left something in my heart that I take on my life, you know, like, because sometimes, you know, being a young person, I just feel like the whole world's against me. Life is sometimes, you know, but it's like, no, like these people, they've gone before me. They've done it. They can do it. They did it with Jesus, and so can I. So I think that's what it means to me, most of all.
Yeah, sweet as. Mike, do you want to answer that one as well?
Sorry, the question?
What does it mean to exist in a community of faith where mothers and fathers have gone before you?
I'm grateful, and at the same time, I feel this sense of responsibility, and so, you know, grateful for what has gone before. I mean, we saw the video of the 17-year history here, and really there was a faith-filled community in Perth Christian Life Centre that sowed some of their best, Pastor Ken and Chrissy, you know, and a group of a small group of committed people to the city of Melville. And really, you know, these people sowed in faith. They sowed their time, their effort, their money, their resource, their faith into this community. And to see people experience Jesus. And what has happened as a result is that many, many people are experiencing Jesus right now across our city and beyond. And, you know, that is a privilege for us to be able to be, you know, and I'm grateful for us to have the fruit of that today. And it's really, you know, it sits on us as, you know, the responsibility as well that this platform has been provided, this massive opportunity to reach out to more and more people. And it's like the baton passing on, and we can take that and run hard so that, you know, the future generations, my son, my daughter can go even further to, you know, spread the love of God to fulfill the commission that Jesus has put on us.
Yeah, awesome. I love that. Steve, can you tell us what does it mean for you to be in an environment with a flourishing next generation in it?
God over... Rick let out cat out of the bag. I'm in my 70s. And I was going to say it's hard to believe, but... but the truth is God has made a substantial investment in my life. Men and women over the years, a lot of them have gone home to be with the Lord, have sown into my life. And I am a product of the Word of God, and I'm a product of the family and friends in my church. You know, we have influence on each other, and at Nations, we're a community of, we're a family, and our modus operandi is love. Yeah. You know, that is the key thing, to love one another as Christ loved us. Yeah. So to be in a community of faith is to be thankful. Yeah. You know, that above all, that Jesus has redeemed our life from the pit of hell. And he's given us a purpose and he's given us a future. And that's what it is to be living in a family of faith and love.
Awesome. Cindy, you want to tell us why it's important for you or why it's special for you to be in this environment where we have a flourishing next generation?
Oh, it means that our church is alive. It means that whatever that we are wanting the young people to live out, they are living it out. They are being relevant. They are still loving Jesus, but just being so relevant to the generation that it's still alive. And I think that's really exciting. And that's one thing I love about Nations, that we have this myriad of generations coming right through, but we're still alive. We can still sing hymns on Sunday and it'll be so cool.
I love that. And you know, it just reminded me of so often when you speak to new people, sort of my age, older, when they come into church, they're shocked at how many young people are in the house of God. And I love that, and I never, ever, ever want that to not be the situation or circumstance we find ourselves in. I always want to be in a church that has a flourishing younger generation, that our young people are jumping and passionate for God, as well as our seniors are so vibrant and speaking into the lives of our young people, because that doesn't happen out there in the world. That is not common. And that is something where it's special in the house of God, where God has called us to do this. And let us always remember, whatever generation we're a part of, to be vibrant and passionate in what we're doing. Amen? Amen. So I want to ask Mike, why is it important for you to be planted long-term?
All right. Planted, I really had to look up the Bible on this one, because it, absent the Bible, planting and gardening is just not something I want to go near. But so I went to the Bible, and I've got a verse for us. So planted, Psalm 92, 12 to 14, it says, "Those who are planted in the house of the Lord shall flourish in the courts of our God. They shall still bear fruit in old age." So 70 is not old age yet. So but they shall be fresh and flourishing. So there's a lot of imagery in a verse like that that is about gardening, and I'll dwell there. You know, I think that in John 15, it says that God is the vine and we are the branches, and that even more just speaks to this idea of being planted in his community. And so God uses this garden imagery about his church because he sees it as his vessel to let more and more people know about his love and experience his true community. So, you know, to take it away from the imagery, what does that mean for me? To be planted is really a commitment to his church, to really dive in, to get the strong relationships, to allow myself to be pastored by our pastors, connect group leaders, and all of that. And then our friends speaking into their lives, letting them speak into mine too, and letting our children grow up in an environment where, you know, Jesus is glorified.
So good. From one gardener to the next gardener, Cindy. Why is it important for you to be planted here long term?
Did you say plants? Well, from a plant mom to the other plant moms out there, which I know who you are, you know that plants will give the best bloom and your best leaves when they're actually, the roots are already established. And for you to establish that root, you need lots of love and care, which is like water and light, but you need to stay in that one place. So for you to really blossom, you have to stay. You have to stay put. You can't move around. And you know, there's another thing that I was thinking, the old adage, a rolling stone collects no moss. So if you're constantly rolling, you're not collecting, you're not giving anything out. So to me, for you to be planted, it's really important because if you call this house your home, which my family has done, you stay put.
Yeah.
Quit moving around.
Great.
Damn.
Steve, do you want to add anything to that?
Well, we're here because this is our spiritual home and this is where God wants us.
Yeah.
And we fit like hand in glove. You know, we just feel comfortable here. We embrace the vision. We love the people. They love us. And I just love the generations in this church. I love talking to younger people. And you can talk to me about anything. Some of my latest topics are... exercising my mind is the internet, gravity waves, BMIs, and compound interest. So if you want to come and talk to about any one of those subjects, I can make a contribution.
Awesome. You're going to have a lineup of people wanting to have a chat after. Compound interest just got them, Steve, all right? Celine, I want to ask you, what does it mean to love the house of God generationally?
Yeah, awesome. I think to love the house generationally, it means to not neglect any generation. So for me, I did. when I was a kid, I grew up in kids' church and I very much did not like kids' church. I was the kid that really didn't want to go. I was scared of people. I was scared of the leaders. I didn't like anyone and I just wanted to go home and eat Maccas. And basically, when I first came to Nations and I started serving here at youth, it was awesome. Like, I loved it. And then when I look at kids' church, I'd be like, what a waste of time. Like, my good friend Shimin, my bestie, she serves in youth and kids. And one time I talked to her, I was like, why you gotta serve in youth and kids? Like, just serve in youth. Like, youth is best. Like, this is where it's at, you know, just pick one. And then she's like, no, Celine, like, this is so important. And I was like, why? And she really like spoke into it and she said, you know, I think it's easier to see the fruit in youth because, you know, people are getting saved left, right and center so easy and like people are maturing and you can actually see the fruition quite easily in a teenager. But in kids, it's a bit different. And she said to me, it's important to her because, she knows she's not going to see the fruit one day and that's okay with her. Like she knows that she's building those roots in these kids. And I was like... oh, okay. And then God really like took this huge blindfold off my face. I was so embarrassed. And he was like, Celine, the whole reason why you never doubted in me, the reason why you believe in me till today and why you haven't wavered in that is because of kids' church. And I was like, ah, thanks God for that. So yeah, I just want to honor every kids member, every kids leader. You know, when you pick up your kids today, thank those leaders. They are sowing foundational roots in these kids. So, yeah, that's what it means to live generationally. And like for Refuel, don't look down upon evergreens. You know, I love evergreens so much.
Amen.
I love talking to Steve and hearing what God's done in them. It's so relevant for my life. So don't look down upon any generation. That's what I think it means to live in a generational family.
Can I interrupt just briefly? Like years ago when I was in business, and long time ago, they said that people make a judgment on an organisation in the first 24 seconds, and that's very hard to break. So when you have someone like Celine on reception, you just know the love of God and a friendly voice. And so she is such a blessing to this church.
Whoa.
Amen.
Thanks, Steve.
Tears. Cindy, do you want to add anything to that one?
Generationally?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Oh, I can read your notes if you want. No.
I think I said how to love the church generationally. I think it means that you are very excited when a young people come through the door, and you are also as interested and as excited when you see like and not so young, like a more mature soul coming through the door. Because you know that every generation brings its own challenges, its own joys. And that's where you learn. So this is a plug for Connect. If you're not in Connect, you need to go to Connect.
Amen.
In my Connect group, I've got this lovely group of people that has just gone through different things that's happening in their lives at different levels, right? And you think, oh, you know, that's kind of not your situation, but when you listen to their stories, when you listen to the kind of things that they go through, you're thinking, oh my goodness, after all that, they still can come and say, God is good. Yeah. I mean, that is the best testimony, because our lives are not meant to be all nice and proper and, you know, easy. It's meant to be challenges. But when you have people that come through the door, have different challenges in their life and things that I wouldn't even imagine can happen to me, they can come out and say, you know what, in spite of all that, God is so good and God is so kind. It just resonates so much with my heart that I want to be around these guys. You know, I am privileged. I am honored to be around them kind of thing. Right. So, yeah. So
awesome. Well, I want to flip us to the last question here, and it's, why are you passionate about building our future? Celine, do you want to start us?
Yeah, sure. I'm really passionate about it because I want like people to experience what I'm experiencing. You know, I want the name of Jesus to live forever.
Come on.
And like I said, you know, without the people living their life for Jesus and just actioning it towards me, I wouldn't be who I am today for it. And I want my future kids that I don't know how many I'll have or, you know, or what their names will be. But, you know, like I know in my heart that I want them to live, you know, in a building where there are people that are living their life for Jesus and they know for sure that Jesus is alive and well today. So, yeah.
Amen. Cindy, do you want to tell us why you're passionate about building our future? And you can add in here about your family.
Yeah.
Go on, go there.
There was a little testimony that I wanted to share, and I think it's to do with legacy in serving. I think that was it is. I think my mom and dad are committed Christians. My dad passed away about 2 years ago now, but I will remember the legacy that he's left also with my mom. So growing up in a Christian family, my mom and dad were very, they were willing to serve in any capacity. They were deacons, they were ushers, they were children's church leaders, they were youth leaders. Anything that needed to be done, they did. And you know, when you're young, like Celine said, you watch. And I watched them. And I thought, well, this is the only way they live. It became their lifestyle. So, but looking back, what I remember most about is not how skillful they were, or how charismatic they were, or how, I don't remember their skills, but I do remember this one thing. They were so generous with their time. They were so generous with their money. And I remember them being generous with their home. My mom actually said, you know, you should always lead Connect, another plug for Connect Group, and open your house to Connect because I can tell you, Cindy, God will bless. When you're 10 or 9, you're like, yeah, okay. You don't know what that means, but that's what she reminded me. So growing up, I remember this, and I'm looking, I'm like, okay, if that's the way you do, that's what you do. So I then wanted to serve. So I served in children's church. I was about maybe 7, 8 years old. I just helped the children's leaders. And back then in Malaysia, they were called action leaders. So you did actions to help the little kids sing, you see? We started doing youth group as well. But then I said, no, this is a lot more than this. I wanted to do more. So at 14 years old, that's pretty old, right? I took up piano. I'd learned piano at 14 years old. And then I said, oh, I wanted to sing. So I would listen and mimic and copy singers so I could sing. And then when I got older, I said, I wanted to learn about leadership because I wanted to learn how to lead people. So I basically prepared myself because all I wanted to do was serve. So now I have two amazing, gorgeous children, okay, Joseph and Megan. But when we were in Malaysia a few years back, they were very little, and I was busy serving in a church. And at that time, Sai was busy building our business, so he was out of town a lot. So it was just me at home, and I wanted to serve the church, and I did. We would serve a few nights a week. We would have music practice and leadership training and whatever. It was a night, and it would be late at night, and I would bundle them up, give them blankets, give them something to do, and brought them to church, and I'll do my thing. And then I'd find them on the floor, sleeping or in corners, just waiting for me, sleeping. And I would cry because it would break my heart to see them because I thought, God, I mean, it's so pathetic. Like, I'm serving. They could be at home sleeping, but I'm here serving. And then I remember my senior pastor said, you know, Cindy, if you give your life to God like that, he will never, ever shortchange you. Never, ever. So now we call Nations home. And my two gorgeous children, they serve and love this house a lot. They would serve in whatever capacity. And just looking at them and remembering them, and I remember that time when I'm just sitting and crying, God, I mean, you know, he's good. He is so good. If you give what you have, what was in your hands, he can make a legacy out of that. Some people, it's so funny, because some people don't even know I am Joseph, Megan's mom and dad. But it doesn't matter, because they see Joseph and Megan serving. And even, I remember when Joseph was doing his year 12, I said, hey, darling, why don't you just tell, you know, get them off the roster? And he goes, no, mom, this is the way I live my life. And he still served right through his year 12. And Megan would also serve right through her assessment, right through her her assignments and that. And I just step back and go, God, this is you. Yeah. I just gonna have to trust you. And legacy, it's about that. It's about you giving your life and then just trusting that God is gonna grow that thing. You can't control it, but you can only give. So now when I come on Sundays and there's four of us serving, I remember the moments when they're sleeping on the floor, sleeping in the corners, it didn't matter anymore because at the end of the day, God has them. God has their heart. God kept their heart. God kept their journey straight because it's all about you giving. Yeah. And my husband, Sai, Joseph and Megan, they are stalwart Team Black. They love Team Black. So you guys, Team Blacks are the best, right? So it's just about that. So I want to encourage moms and dads who have got young children, don't be discouraged. The moment they are little is just a smidgen of the life that they're going to live.
Yeah.
It will pass.
Yeah.
It will pass. It would. Yeah. You can cry, and God will be there to. His grace will be on you for that moment. But I can see. I can tell you right now, sitting here, God is good.
Yes.
He will see your kids through.
Amen.
He will see your kids. He would. He has their future in His hands. He has what's best for them. You just have to give what is in your hands now, which is your time and your resources and your love for people. So go for it, everyone.
Yes.
Preach. Steve, why are you passionate about building our future?
First of all, I'd just like to say that this church is very well run financially, and we can give praise God for that. But this church is about to take on a mountain load of debt to build our new to build our new church. So I think as a legacy, we can sow into that and knock the top off that with a good offering in a fortnight's time. And as I said before, I've been exercising my mind on compound interest. and I'm sure Pastor Ken has been also. But so a word to the wise is sufficient. In a fortnight's time, let's do it. The other thing I'd like to say is that secondly, in a few months' time, we move into a brand new complex. And we're going to enjoy the facilities there, and I'm sure in the future people are going to give glory to God for it. And we will be a part of that legacy. And that's important. And when we stand before the throne room of God to give an account of our lives, and he rolls the tape, we'll remember this time that we saw, you know, the lost found, disciples made, and nations reached.
Amen.
I just have one more last thing to say about how living legacy with your life. When I was doing this, just going through these questions about what legacy means, I think everyone, just bear in mind, have to explain something. You actually have two kind of lives. One is your physical life right now that you are serving and you're talking, and you can only be in one place at one time, at any point. But you have this other life that is what they call the life in exchangeable form, which is actually your money. So when it says that, so the Bible talks about you being living sacrifices, meaning to give all your life, which is your life now, and your life in form of money. So as we can talk about visions and we can talk about prayers, but without money, that has no feet. It doesn't go anywhere. So when it means for you to just give out your life, I'm challenging everyone now to just to give out your life in your service, but also give out in terms of money. So building a future is about that. So we can talk about how great the vision is and, oh, we want things for our kids and we want this generation to benefit the next generation. But if it is not backed with your life in exchangeable form, that has no feet. It doesn't go anywhere.
Yeah.
So building a future, to me, it's that. It's not just about the testimony. And it's not the money, but it's about us putting feet into the vision of this church so the kingdom reached is further. Yeah?
Amen. Mike.
Final one.
Yeah, I know. But you've obviously been a key part of implementing with Pastor Ken Nations Builders as well. And this is something that was on your heart and has been something you've lived way before you were here at Nations, and you still live it incredibly today. Why is building our future and things like Nations Builders so important for you?
Yeah, I mean, just 2 seconds on the personal testimony, and I think, you know, my circumstance is different to Cindy's, but the heart of it is the same, is that, you know, when you put you're all into God, you know, He looks after everything else. And really, I've taken that approach into, God's really spoken into my life in generosity and really, you know, sowing in faith into the community of God to see it advance. And right now, this church, you know, and the church more broadly, we're in incredible times. People are so hungry for the Word of God. And we've seen that in the midst of COVID and all the craziness. This church has grown strongly. We've reached out to so many more people than we've been able to before. And, you know, the city of Melville has over 100,000 people in it. I guarantee most of those don't know Christ. And we're going to plant right in the center, right in the heart, you know, a light on a hill. It's not about fancy walls and buildings and things, but, you know, that building is strategic to reach into those lives and to let them know about the love of Christ. And, you know, we all get to play our role in that. And that is why, you know, it's incredible to privilege to be part of building our future. You know, tithes keep the lights on, and really right now we get to accelerate the mandate of this church and really see, you know, we've got so many people that experience God's love here today. Let's not forget what that feels like. There's so many more people to come, more testimonies like Cindy's, more incredible stories to come. So, you know, that is worth sowing into.
Hey man, why don't you give all these guys a hand? And will you stand to your feet with me today? We just want to pray over you today. And, you know, I thought it'd be beautiful. Steve, I hope you don't mind. You can pray. I'd love to hear from you, Steve, if you can pray over us, and Celine, if you'll pray over us as well. And I want these guys to pray as generation to generation, praying over us, commissioning us in this season, in what we're doing, that this is way beyond just us telling people to do something. This is way beyond people feeling guilted into something, but this is a heart conviction. This is who we are. This is how we live, that we live to build the future, that we live to leave a legacy for those coming beyond us. So, Steve, can you pray over us today?
Yeah. Look, thank you, Lord, that we're a family motivated by your love, united by the Holy Spirit to see the lost found, disciples made, and nations reached. And Father God, each one of us has an important part to play in the Great Commission. And I pray, Father God, over my brothers and sisters here, that they hear your voice and the voice of a stranger they do not follow. I thank you, Father God, that they pursue love and they show your love to a lost and dying world. And we just thank you, Father. We do all this in the mighty name of Jesus. And everyone said, Amen.
Yeah, Father God, I just thank you that for what you've done in this church. And I thank you, Father God, like Mike said, you want to accelerate things, Father. And I just pray, Father, that we would be a church that are legacy-leaving people. I pray, Father God, that it would be just who we are, Lord, that we would be known as a church that leaves a legacy, Father God. I pray, Father God, that you would challenge us, that you would show us, like you did with me, would you take the blindfold off of us of living in a generational family, Lord Jesus. Help us to see the goodness in every department, in every generation, Father God. Help us to play our part, Father God, as a senior, as a young person, as an adult, Father God. Help us to play a part of this body that you call your church, Lord. We thank you so much for what you're going to do in this next season ahead, Father God, and we entrust you with it, Lord. We love you so much, God. Thank you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Why don't we give these guys a hand as they head up?
Thanks for listening to the Nations Church podcast. For more info, please visit nationschurch.com.